Those of you who were here last year in the first service of the year, how many guys remember the first service of the year? We filled out cards of different goals or different desires. Does anybody remember that? You filled out a card, you dropped it in there. I see a couple of them. All right, a couple of them. You know, we went through them. I went through them this week, and I was looking at them because we were talking about doing that this week, about getting some cards and having everybody write down what they wanted to accomplish in 2011, maybe resolutions or different ideas. But then as I started reading the cards from last year and all the cards that everybody submitted, I got, Eddie has his, praise God. All right, Eddie, did you do it? Yeah? Yeah? All right, he's like, I don't know. As I was reading the cards from last year, I noticed an overwhelming theme. Probably, I would say, conservatively speaking, in about 90% of all the cards. And that same theme was repeated. So I said, you know, well, I was thinking to myself and praying to God, what can I do this week? And I just really felt like, you know, I was asking God, like, God, what can we do? You know, what would be the most impactful for people? And I said, well, you know, instead of just writing down what everybody wants to accomplish for this week, and since everybody seems to write that same path, why don't we start the first service of the year off the right way? So tonight, if you're taking notes, the title of my message tonight is called Starting Off Right. And tonight I want to talk about starting the year off right. You know, if we go back to the different commitment cards or the different resolution cards that we filled out last year, I'll tell you 90%, conservatively speaking, honestly, it's probably closer to 95-98%. Like maybe, you know, one out of every 20 or one out of every 30 cards didn't say that. But the number one priority was to improve the relationship with God, to draw near to God this week. This year I want to improve my walk with God. I want to grow stronger as a Christian. People say, I want to learn to be a better person. I want to learn to be a better Christian. I want to increase my faith. And so this year, you know, I thought instead of us all writing it down, because that's probably what we would all write anyways here in church and thinking about it and reflecting about it, why don't we talk about it and why don't we get ourselves in the position where we can start this year off right? This being the first Friday of 2011, let's purpose in our hearts, church, to make this Friday the start of something different. Instead of just saying that we want to be better people this year, instead of just saying that we want to grow in our relationships with God this year, instead of just saying that we want to increase our faith this year, why don't we make today the day where we start doing that? We start acting on that. Instead of just writing it down, instead of just pulling out a piece of paper and remembering and looking back and saying, man, I thought I was going to do that and I totally forgot. Instead of that, why don't we work today in putting things into action? If you guys were here on Wednesday night, I talked about faith in the main sanctuary. And it's such an interesting concept about faith. And all throughout Christianity, we hear about faith and we hear about the faith and our faith and faith in general and faith, the faith shield, and all the different types of faith. But the interesting thing about faith and about all subjects of Christianity is they all pretty much start with a word. And we can apply this to our lives in different things. I use the example of a diet. Now, how many of you guys have ever been on a diet, right? Or thought about going on a diet, or have said you were going to go on a diet, right? Well, the example I used was a diet without dieting is not a diet. I myself have been on multiple diets in which I never dieted. Does that make any sense? Where I said I'm on a diet, and then I go to McDonald's and I get the Big Mac with cheese, extra large fries, and then a Diet Coke, right? I'm cutting out, man. A diet without dieting isn't really a diet. Well, same thing with faith. Faith without actions or faith without works is not really faith. Well, guess what, guys? Christianity, resolutions, goals and desires without actions, without actually putting them to use, without actually getting up and doing something about them, are just words. They're just things that we write down on a card. They're just, you know, desires and wants. I wish I could be a better person this year. I wish people could see me smile more this year, or whatever it may be. But if we don't put those things into action, all they ever are is just words on a piece of paper. All they ever are words that we say to somebody. But this year, I challenge you tonight as we go through three super simple points, verses and points that we're all going to be very familiar with, but I want to challenge you tonight to take this to heart and to make this tonight, set it upon your heart with a personal challenge at the end of service to do something about your resolution. If you want to be a better person, then start doing something about it now. If you want to be a better Christian, you want to grow in your relationship with God tonight, let's make it the night. This is, January 7th, right? January 7th, 2011. Let's make it the night where we push forward. I want to take some time about and talk about priorities, because when we talk about starting our lives off or our year off right, we have to measure what our priorities are. We have to look at what is priority number one. What is priority number two? How many of you guys here work? Okay, how many of you guys here attend college, trade school, school, community college, university, whatever it may be? Okay, a good portion of you. There's a lot of priorities, especially you who work or you who attend school. You know about priorities. You know, especially when you're in school, you know that, you know, your English class is more important than your elective class, and you know that the 10-page paper might take longer than the 3-page paper. And I remember when I was in university, I had my priorities, and I would procrastinate the easiest one last, you know what I mean? So I'd work on the hardest one so that way I could get it through, and then I would do the easiest one last, because it's like, all right, now I'm skating through it, you know? And we shuffle our priorities. We as young adults, we all have priorities, whether it's to get to work on time, to get our car fixed, to get a honey, to get whatever it may be. We all have priorities. You like how I threw that in, huh? You guys totally weren't even expecting that. Tonight I want to talk about priorities. And I got three simple points tonight. And then at the end, we're going to take a moment and just talk amongst ourselves about what it is that we want to do in 2011. And I want to challenge you guys at your tables during the discussion questions to challenge each other and say, listen, man, I'll believe in faith with you for that. Or you know what? I'll help you support you in that. Or I'm going on the same direction. And then at the end, if we have time, I'd like to everybody just maybe pray for each other to have some strength for the end of the year and just to push on it. But I got three simple tasks or three simple points tonight about starting the year right and getting our priorities in line. Number one tonight, if you're taking notes, is that God must be priority. Simple, simple concept. I mean, of all the thoughts in Christianity, it's something that we think about and we say, well, duh, Pastor Luke, yeah, God must be priority, because what is Christianity without serving God? But guys, let me tell you something. Let me challenge you with something real quick. How many times in our lives, and I will admit that I am not exempt from this. I am just as guilty as all of the rest of us in this room. After all, we're all human, but you know what? I know that God has changed me and molded me into something different. But how many times in this room have we gone through our daily lives, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday comes along, Saturday, Sunday comes along, all of a sudden something's a little different. Or in some of our cases, you know, it might be Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday comes along, and all of a sudden something in our lives is different. And what is that? Oh, tonight we have to go to church. All right, you know, I get my church face on. I go search my car or my trunk and try to find out where my Bible was from last week, because I don't know. I threw it in the car and then there was a sweater or there was a shoe on top of it and I couldn't find it. How many times in our life have we gone through our regular lives? We've just lived our lives as it is. And all of a sudden, when it comes time for church and when it comes time for God, we say, oh yeah, I forgot. I'm supposed to be going to church. I'm a Christian. Now, a lot of times we may not be to the extent where, you know, we're like totally living a contrary life to the Word of God, but at the same time, are we really dedicating priority to God? You know, here's the bottom line, guys. You may think it's fun, you may think it's cool, and I'm not disencouraging you guys to do this, to send Pastor Luke a Facebook friend request. But here's the bottom line. If I'm a friend of yours, I read your Facebooks. All right? And a lot of times, guys, I can read that we're not making God priority in our life. Because, you know, the Bible tells us that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the Bible, Jesus also tells us that where our treasure lies, there our heart lies also. So what is it that we're talking about? What is it that we're going about our daily lives talking to everybody about? Is it more so God, or is it more so what's on MTV? Is it more so whatever hot movie's out or whatever hot song's going on? Or is it more so about the things of God or what God has done in your life? And tonight, I encourage you, I challenge you to begin to think about what it is in your life that has taken priority and begin to shuffle those priorities around. Just like you got a priority to get up in enough time to take a shower. Most of us, it's just in enough time to take a shower, to grab a Pop-Tart and get out so you can get to work just in the nick of time to swipe in right as it is there. But we all have priorities, whether it be to get up early, whether it be to do our homework, whether it be to do whatever our boss asked us to do. We all have priorities in our life. But at the same time, is that priority? Is God one of those priorities? And I want to ask you that question and think about that within your heart tonight. Because tonight we're talking about starting it off right. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the book of Matthew. I'm going to actually go through a couple scriptures tonight that won't be on the overhead, so don't freak out. Book of Matthew, chapter 6. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. I'm going to start with verse number 31. Verse number 33 will be on the overheads. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Man, doesn't that sound like young adults right there, first of all? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? And what shall we wear, right? Who's got the sale going on? What are we going to get for lunch? I'll tell you what, every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, us young adults all kind of go out to lunch every once in a while on the staff. And it's like the biggest drama at 12:05, trying to figure out where are we going to go to eat? And everybody kind of stares at each other with blank faces like, you know, nobody wants to say where they want to go because they don't care. And then so somebody says like Taco Bell. No, I don't want to go Taco Bell. All right, well, then you say where you want to go. Okay. Panera Bread. No, Panera Bread's too expensive. Then all of a sudden everybody gets in a big fight and we all go our own way, right? So what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Jesus is saying, don't worry about that stuff. For after all these things the Gentiles speak, Gentiles speaking of the people who are not of God. For your heavenly Father knows that which you need, all these things. Verse number 33 is what I want to focus on here. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is telling us as Christians, we have to make priority, number one, to make God our number one priority, to seek first. He doesn't say to seek, you know, adamantly, to seek, you know, overwhelmingly. He says, you know, to seek, okay, try to do it, maybe one, two, three, priority. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Our provisions, our desires, our wants. He says earlier in the verses that God knows exactly what we have need of. God knows exactly what we want. And he says, listen, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added unto you. Jesus says later on, what good does it do a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's the opposite of what Jesus is saying right here. What good does it do to seek after our priorities of getting rich, of making money, of coming up with the next new Facebook or whatever it may be, to be successful in life, to get that honey? What does it profit us to get those things if we lose our soul in the end because we weren't seeking God, number one? Tonight in this place, guys, I want to challenge you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, so often in our lives, we neglect that. We forget that, you know what? I'm going to seek God first on Friday at 7 o'clock. I'm going to seek God first on Sunday at 12 o'clock if I can make it. Maybe I did something on Saturday night. Okay, I'll listen to the podcast instead. Guys, we have got to make a priority in our lives to make God number one. Because without God number one in our lives, we just fool ourselves. We are just fooling ourselves. James, if you have your Bibles, we're just going to turn a little bit. James in the 4th chapter. Verse number 7. James 4th chapter, verse number 7. James is right after the book of Hebrews, and the rate I'm turning pages, I will get there in a year. Okay. James, the 4th chapter, verse number 7. He says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. Verse number 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James is saying, listen, guys, it's time for us to get our priorities back in line. If you look at the second part of that, he says, cleanse your hands, sinners, and purify your hearts. He says, listen, get back in line. When you draw near to God, it's a biblical promise. It's a biblical principle that he, in turn, will draw near to you. Jesus told us in Matthew, the 6th chapter, which we just read, seek first the kingdom of God, and then what? All these things that you have need of will be added back unto you. Do you see the same principle here? When you put God as a priority, those things in which you sacrifice your priority, because those things, that job, the wife, the girlfriend, the school, the education, whatever it may be that was priority number one, when you put God up there, you put those priorities underneath God. And God says, I see that. I see that you've made a decision to make me priority. And now I will bless you with all the things that I know you have need of. All the things I know you have desire for. Do you guys see that tonight? That if we seek God, if we make him priority in our life, all of a sudden the things that come underneath us, if they stay underneath the priority of God, sometimes we have a tendency to put them up front on top of God, you know? You know, we're seeking after God, pushing after our ministry, pushing after, man, I know that God's called me to do this. And all of a sudden the girl comes along or the guy comes along And all of a sudden, that priority of God and that priority, the vision that God has set on your heart, takes second, third, fourth place because the girl's there now, the ring's there now, the relationship's there now, the thoughts about them there now. And all of a sudden, you wonder, why isn't God using you in your life the way that you used to be used? Why are you not successful in your walk with God? Why is it that all of 2010, you wish that you could be a better person, you wish that you could be a better Christian, and looking back on the year, you say, you know what? I'm just a tad bit better than I was last year, when you should be leaps and bounds. Because one, we as Christians have not given God all of our priority. We have not placed our priority. We have not set our precedence on God being number one in our life. Quickly, I want to read to you. I totally didn't have this plan, but I was just reading. I thought totally, we just need to do this. You know, I just got to say this. You know, when we put priority in our life, then all of a sudden of God in our life, all of a sudden something changes. All of a sudden our conjure changes. You know, we come to church and we act holy and we pray to God and we lift our hands up and we say, God, I thank you. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory, Lord. Heal my heart. Touch me. Cleanse me. Make me clean. Make me whole. And then we leave shift. We leave church and we go back into the world and we go back to the bar. We go back to our schools. We go back to the workforce and we go back to Facebook or Twitter or whatever it is in our own circles of influence. And you can't tell the difference between you and somebody else in the world. That's a clear sign that God is not priority in your life. And I want to read to you something in the book of 1 Peter. Just really quick, this won't be on the overhead, but let me just read this to you. 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of what? Darkness into his marvelous light. Verse number 10, he says, now who were once not a people, but now are the people of God. So once you were not people, you did not belong to anybody, but you made God priority in your life, and now you are a people who belong to God. You once a people who did not have mercy in your life. You were living in sin. You didn't make God your priority, and now all of a sudden you are a people who have obtained mercy. Verse number 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners, as pilgrims, you're on a new road is what he's saying. Avoid fleshly lusts, which we war against the soul. Verse 12, having your conduct honorable among Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Do you realize what he just said? He says, you are a different people. When you are a children of God, when you are in line with what God has, you are different. There's just something weird about you that people don't understand. And that when people come to speak against you, they can see that by your good works, through your priority in God, that there is something different. And they, therefore, can be witness to the glory of God because your life reflects that. Now, you've got to ask yourself a question. By making God a priority, if your life doesn't reflect that, is God really priority in your life? Number one tonight, we've got to make God priority in our lives. Number two, we have got to ask God for direction. This is such an important point, guys. It is hard enough to get through life as it is, right? Life is not easy, but it is even harder to get through life when we don't have a direction to go. Now, earlier I asked who was in school, who was in work. How many of you guys have ever been in school? Hopefully that's most everybody. How many of you guys remember back in school, whether it might have been high school or now it's in college or you've graduated from college or whatever, you were in a class in which you had to write or type a paper, right? Teacher said, here's the paper. But how many times in that class did the teacher say, most every time if you remember, because the subject is in there, the direction of which you're in. If it's an English class, you know it's a paper going to be about literature or English. The teacher will come to you and say, all right, guys, I want a 5-page paper on this subject due in 2 weeks. You have a direction, but the teacher didn't give you everything you need. Now, see, the part of the assignment is for you as the student to go out to the library, to the books, to the textbook, wherever it may be, to find the information, to draw a conclusion, and to write that paper, correct? You guys all understand that concept? The teacher gave you the direction. But so many times in our life, we go through our walks with Christianity and we go through our walk with God and we don't ask for direction. We say, God, we want you to use us. God, I want you to use me in my life. Do something great in my life. And then we just kind of like bounce around like a ping pong ball, you know, or what is that? A pinball is what I'm thinking, you know, because we don't ask direction. But Jesus tells us that we have every right to ask for direction. And just like the teacher, he'll give us the direction, guys. But let me tell you something. It is up to us, each and every one of us, once we have the direction, to go dig in, to find the data, to find the what the Word says, to find out what God says, and to make our conclusions and to live therefore, just like writing a paper. So we have got to ask God for direction. If you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Luke, the book of Luke. Luke, the 11th chapter, verse number 9. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you." Verse number 10. "For everyone who asks, receive. He who seeks, finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened." Verse number 11 says, "If a son asks for bread from any father, would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would he give him a serpent instead of a fish?" So basically say, like, let's imagine it's 10 years from now and you all have little babies, baby girls or baby boys, whatever you want. Okay, it doesn't matter. All right, but imagine that baby comes up to you and says, "Dad, Mom, can I have a piece of bread?" Are you as the parent going to give that child a rock instead of bread to eat? If he says, "I want a tuna sandwich," or "I want a turkey sandwich," are you going to give that child a snake, a live snake, instead of a turkey sandwich? That's what Jesus is saying here. "If a son asks for bread, father among you, would he give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, would he give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, what will he offer him? A scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Of us being evil, basically of us, our human and our carnal nature. We see our carnal nature all throughout television, all throughout movies. Murder, gangs, violence, crime. We see the evil in the human nature. He says, if you, being naturally evil, can give good to your children, just imagine what God in heaven will give to you if you ask. And he uses the reference here, give to you the Holy Spirit. Pastor Joey a couple weeks ago talked about the love of God, referring to the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a couple of purposes in your life. Jesus, when he left this earth and he said, "Now to you I give you, I bring you a special person, the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit has different ministries in our lives. One, he comes to show us the truth. If you want to study that, you can find that in John the 16th chapter, verse number 12. Secondly, he comes to give us direction. He comes to show us things that will come. That's John the 16th and the 13th chapter. He comes to remind us of things that we have been taught. Oftentimes we hear the word of God and we forget, but the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "Hey, I've given you the Spirit." He comes to remind us of things that we have been taught. Jesus says, all you have to do is ask. All you have to do is ask. And not only will he give you, he will give you freely. He will give you liberally the direction of which you have, because he has already set that in place. But we as Christians have got to, one, make God our priority. Number two, we have got to ask God for direction in our life. And we wonder why. Why isn't God doing something in my life? Guys, let me tell you something. Every day I have got to live this principle. As the pastor of the young adults, as a pastor here at the Rock Church, developing messages. You know, some of you guys may know me on the outside of up here on the pulpit. Some of you may not. It is not an easy thing for me to get up here and speak to people. It is not my natural tendency. Those of you who know me, I'm more close. My best friend, Pastor Joe, will know. I don't even hang out with him. All right, I'm like an introverted type of person. I like to be at home on my days off and just in my room or whatever it may be. So it takes a lot, but I have got to continually ask God for direction in my life. I've got to ask God, I got to preach a message on Friday night and I have no clue what you want me to say. And then all of a sudden I start praying. I start asking God, give me an idea. God, give me direction. All of a sudden I get something in my heart. And there's just something. It doesn't mean that God just says, poof, here's the message on my lap and I don't have to study. Now I have to dig into the Bible and say, okay, a verse has been popping up on my mind. So I go to that verse and then all of a sudden something else comes up and something else comes up, something else comes up. And then all of a sudden a message comes together. Guys, in your life, it's the same way. God, what can I do in my life? God, how can you use me in my own life? You begin to ask God. You begin to ask God for direction. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. He will lead you. And then he will show you things to come. He will show you things that you have been taught, so that you can go to the Bible. You can go to the Word of God and you can say, you know what? What does the Bible say about my situation? You start studying, you start getting in on it. And then you start to find out what the direction of your life is and what the calling of your life is and what the purpose of your life in Christ is. But you have to ask God for direction. We cannot do this on our own. So often we try to do this on our own. But guys, we have got to give God our priority. We have got to give God our direction. James, the first chapter, verse number 5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And he goes on to say, God will liberally, freely give to him. But let that man who asks, ask in faith. Because if he supposes that he receives, if he just hopes that if he asks for wisdom from God and he receives, he says that man is a, James goes on to say that man is a double-minded man. He's unstable in all his ways. It's like a wave in the sea, tossed and beat up because he's not standing in faith. Guys, when you ask for God, you can rest assured. The promises of God say that when you ask, it will be given unto you. So you, when you ask, you have to ask with the expectation. God, please, can you deliver some wisdom to me? God, I really hope that you can, in 2011, God, I really hope you can show me direction in the path that I'm supposed to go because I don't know and I'm getting kind of restless. No! Jesus tells us, the book of James tells us, listen guys, we can ask and we can stand in faith and say, you know what, God, I believe in the name of Jesus, 2011 is going to be a year unlike any other year because you are going to deliver wisdom, you are going to deliver direction, you are going to show me the path on which you have called me to be, and then you can look back in 2012 and look at 2011 and say, wow! 2011 was bigger than 2010. It was bigger than 29. 2009 is bigger than 2008. Because now you've got direction in your life. But we have got to ask God for direction. Finally, number 3. You guys with me tonight? Pretty simple stuff so far, right? Number 3 tonight. We have got to set time for God and we have got to keep it. Woo! This is a tough one. This is a tough one. I'll tell you what. Like I said, I am not exempt from this. We in our lives have got to set time for God, and we have got to keep it. So often in our lives, we set time for God, and that's Friday at 7 o'clock. We show up at 7:10, and we leave at 8:30. So we have 80 minutes for God, and that's the extent of it. Maybe, dear Lord, thank you for today, or maybe how about this? This might be the time that some of us set for God. Dear Lord, thank you for this food. We ask that you bless it to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I had my discipleship, I had my study with God today, right? If God, like point number 1 says, if we said in point number 1, if God is to be a priority in our life, we have got to set time to be with God. Now let's think of it like this. We talked about other priorities. We have a priority of work, of employment. We have a priority, some of us who are in school, or you were in school. You have a priority of education, of a degree, or of an associate's, or a bachelor's, or master's, or whatever it may be. That's a priority in your life. Right? And then because of that priority, you set time for it, right? You set time out of your day, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, or 8 to 4, or 9 to 5, or whatever, 3 to 10, or whatever it may be. You set time to make time for that priority. Why? Because income is important, right? Education to us is important. We set time out of that. How about this? So you might say, Pastor Luke, right now, I don't have a job. Right now, I'm not going to school. I got a priority for you. I got a priority for you. You're going to laugh at this one, all right? How many of us have a priority on Thursday night not to miss our favorite TV show? Uh-oh, right? We set time out once a week to watch The Office or to watch 30 Rock or Saturday Night Live or whatever it may be. For me, it's Man Tracker, okay? Whatever the show may be, Mythbusters, right? We have priorities in our life, and sometimes that priority is watching TV. But the bottom line is that we actually take time out of our life to make it a point to sit in front of the TV to watch that show. But how often do we make it a point in our life to take time out of our busy schedule to sit with God and to pray, to read His Word, just to let Him speak to us, to let Him impart His glory in our life? Whew! Guys, I'll tell you what, that is deep. That is deep because you know what? You want to grow with God? We cannot grow with God if we don't seek after God. We saw earlier in point number 1 that we read that if we draw near to God, He will do what? He will draw near to us. But if we don't set time for God, if we do not draw near to God, therefore, if we look at the logic of that scripture, if we don't draw near to God, what can we assume? Yeah, say it. He's not going to what? We've got to make God a priority in our life. We have got to take time to set apart time out of our busy schedule to get with God. Guys, and you know what the bottom line is? I cannot tell you. There's not a formula for me to say, okay, guys, if you want to grow with God, you need to set out 30 minutes a day, 7 days a week at 6:30 in the morning to stay with God. That's not the bottom line. To each and every person has to work out their own. You have got to figure out where it is you are with God, where it is you can work it out with God. Maybe you just need to start with once every other day. Maybe you need to start with once a day right before you go to bed. 10 minutes a day, just read a verse or a book or a chapter out of the Bible and just say, God, as I sleep, speak to me about that. But the bottom line is if we want to ask God for direction, now we have to take the time, like I talked about with writing that paper. We have to take the time to research out that paper, to research out that topic, to research out that direction, and to make an assumption or to make a conclusion on that. And by doing so, what we do is we take time out of our schedule to get with God. You guys getting something out of this tonight? Quickly. In Psalms, the 63rd chapter, I'll just pop it up on the overhead. Psalms, the 63rd chapter, I remember one of my Christian studies classes in the university made me memorize this verse. And like we had to like say it in front of the whole class and then talk about what it meant. But we're just going to look at a couple verses in this chapter. Oh God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. Oh God, you are my God. What? Early I will seek you. Some of you late night owls, I should say. All right, some of you night owls are saying, oh boy. He just pulled out a verse that said, early I will seek you. Pastor Luke, you don't understand. Early to me is like 12, all right? Early to me is like 2:30 in the afternoon, okay? Early I will seek you. But here what the psalmist is actually saying is, God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. What he's applying is part of the first thing of his day. Part of the first action of his day, he's going to wake up and he's going to seek after God early. He's going to start off his day with prayer. He's going to start off his day with reading the word of God, with studying and understanding. That way he equips himself for the rest of the day to get through whatever the day might have. Because why? He got with God. He got direction from God. He got encouragement from God. He got strength from God. He says, early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Verse number 6 comes along. Now for all you morning people, you might say, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Now the morning people say, oh, Pastor Luke, you don't understand. The night watch for me is like 3:30 in the afternoon. I go to bed I'm an early bird. I'm up at 4:00 in the morning. You know, I'm not watching at night. It's already daytime when I go to bed. The bottom line is here the psalmist is saying, listen, I have set a part out of my day. The night watches, right? He's taken a part of his life. He says, I will think about you. I will meditate on you in the night watches. Guys, we as Christians, we as young adults, we as the body of Christ have got to make a priority, one, for God to be priority in our life. Two, we have got to ask God for direction. And in asking God for direction, number three, we have got to make time for God. And that doesn't mean that we have to make time and we have to go read the book of Numbers and read about the who begot who begot who begot who begot who begot who, and then say, God, speak to me about that. You know, what? You know? But like he said, I will think about you on my bed. Sometimes all it takes is just to look at a sunset and say, you know what? Right now, I'm going to take 5 minutes and just think about, man, how does that sun turn orange like that? How does it do that? And you just start to think about the glory of God. And you watch how you become encouraged because you begin to see that this world isn't just about you. This world isn't just about your car or about your money or your bank account. But this world, there's something more to it. You look at the stars in the sky and say, man, look at that Big Dipper. Or try to find, you know, another constellation. You start trying to count. Have you ever tried to count the stars? Just like pick a constellation and start work your way out. You'll lose count in like 5 seconds. But that's what he's saying is, I will meditate on you. Take some time out of your busy schedules. Take some time out of your day to, one, just to think about God. To give God some thought in your life. To show him, listen, God, I draw near to you because I am giving you my attention. We can give time out of our day to watch TV. We can give time out of our day to call or text our friends. We can give time out of our day to put 120 words on some internet site. We can give time out of our day to comment on somebody's Facebook status. But how many times do we neglect taking time out of our day to give to God? Tonight, guys, 3 simple points. I want to challenge you. Let's start the year off right. Tonight, let's make it tonight. We kick it off right. Let's give God our priority. Let's shuffle around. Let's begin to think within our own heart and evaluate where it is we stand with God so that 2011, we can have our priorities in line in the beginning of the year. Secondly, let's ask God for direction in our lives. You know what? I want to be a better Christian. I want God to increase my faith. I want God to increase my finances. I want God to make me prosperous this year. I want to have business ideas this year. You know what? Now let's start the year off by asking God for direction. You want to start a business? You want to have a principle in your life? You want to have a good work ethic? Start asking God right now for direction in your life. God, give me a business idea. God, give me a business plan. God, show me a work ethic. You know what it might be? It might be that you get a job working for somebody as an apprentice. You might get a job working for somebody, and you see what they do and find a way to improve it. Because that's what a lot of businesses in this society right now are doing. So, you know, just because you get a job doesn't mean that that's not what God has called you to do. And finally, guys, you have got to take time. You and me have got to take time out of our lives to seek after God, to give him a couple of moments a day at least, to just think about him, to meditate on our bed, to think about him in the morning, to think about him at night. And you watch this year be different than the last. That this year be different than the years before. This year be different than the years combined before, because all of a sudden your priorities are in line. All of a sudden now you're acting in the principles that God has called you as Christians and as children of God to act in. Pretty simple message tonight, right? Did you guys get something out of that tonight? Yeah.